listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and it's time right now for the Nerd War to Human Serviette Radio Show, and who do we have on the line right now?
Bob Dobbs.
Who are you?
Well, there are two images circulating of me in the media. There's Bosmed Ecology Squared. Two albums were put out by some McLuhanite disciples in Toronto in 92-93. In 1980 or so, pamphlets started to surface out of Dallas talking about J.R. Bob Dobbs, and it's known as the Church of the Subgenius. That is another cargo cult that was inspired by my doings in Dallas in 78. So there are two images, J.R. Bob Dobbs and the voice image you get from listening to the CD, Bosmed Ecology. But you're talking to the guy that really did it.
You really are like Bob Dobbs. Like, you are, like, who is Bob? I'm confused, Bob Dobbs. Like, I mean, you really are legendary, aren't you? Are you really the Bob Dobbs? Like, did you start the Church of the Subgenius, Bob?
No, what I did is, I was born in 1922 in Paris. I grew up in an aristocratic situation, so I was brought into not the world government. It was an international intelligence agency, but I call it, once you get into 57 and the early 60s, the solar government. And the solar government basically treated the world as a test tube and did genetic programming via collective media. Genetic engineering, per se, was a minor avenue working on the old, obsolete, remaindered flesh. So that was my background. While I was doing work for the solar government, I was in Dallas in February 78, and I met these two young men at a bar. Their names were Doug St. Clair Smith, and another guy was Philo Drummond. I don't know if that was Philo's real name, but that's how he was introduced to me. Well, over the next couple of days, I discussed various interests they had. They'd just come out of college. They had read Robert Anton Wilson's Illuminatus Trilogy, Art Klepp's Boohoo Church. They're normal kind of guys from college in the 70s in that atmosphere. So I started telling a few things that actually did go on, rather than in the realm of Robert Anton Wilson and speculation. And this inspired them so much they came back for the next couple of days, and I fed them more information. And I didn't know this would have an effect on them, but like creating a cargo cult, what happened was they started releasing pamphlets and broadcasting on CB radio in that area, talking about J.R. Bob Dobbs, the character they had invented or sort of crystallized in how they understood me and the effect I had on them.
Is that what you look like? Do you look like the guy with the pipe in your mouth? Is that modeled after you, Bob Dobbs?
Well, I'm 76 now, but here's what happened, is that when I eventually saw the pamphlets, I didn't even know this was going on, I noticed that the image that you're talking about, the man with the pipe, looked exactly like my father. And I had shown a picture of my father, which was probably taken in the 30s and 40s. And that image is what they imitated, because they knew they couldn't use my face because I could sue them. So they took an image of something similar to my father as their sort of reminder, their code.
Well, is that book that's out there, The Church of Subgenius, did you write that book, or was it those guys in Dallas that wrote that book?
They wrote it. They took my information, Reverend Stang. He created a new name for himself, Doug St. Clair Smith, called himself Reverend Ivan Stang. He took LSD and lots of other stimulants, and under the influence, sort of put together ideas and images that were implied by what I had told them.
So if you flip open the Subgenius book, that is your stuff that's in there.
That's an interpretation of my stuff.
Now, Bob Dobbs, are you Bob Dean? Because I saw something listed somewhere that said, Bob Dean, traitor to Canadians everywhere, claims J.R. Bob Dobbs is based on himself, utter wanker, calls people up and bugs them. Well, you did call me up last week there, Bob Dobbs, and you are live on the Nerd War to Human Serviette Radio Show. This is Bob Dobbs, the guy from the Church of Subgenius, or so he says. And if you'd like to speak to Bob Dobbs, it's 822-2487, UBC, CITR. You can speak. You are the original Bob Dobbs, aren't you, Bob?
I am the real Bob Dobbs, and I think you just read a posting from Popes Lilith out of Portland or Seattle. That was on the alt.slack listings, right?
Right, and what's this Bob Dean? Is your name Bob Dean?
No, I don't know who that is, but I have an idea of where it came from. What happened was there was a journalist who worked at CKLN named Bob Marshall, who I used to prepare the ground for going on the radio in 87 in Toronto. I was on for 4 years, and tapes from those shows were used on the Bosmed Ecology album. But I had no say in that. They picked what they wanted. So Bob Marshall was a journalist there. He got removed, and I came on and replaced him, but I had planned that. Now, Bob Marshall knew a woman named Carolyn Dean, a doctor in Toronto, who actually was my wife, Connie. And she, Connie Dobbs, had to have a cover while in Toronto, disguised as a doctor, so she used the name of a friend from Nova Scotia, Garrett Dean. And that was her name. Now, Bob Marshall was seen to be in her company and in the clinic, her medical clinic in Toronto, for many years. So many people thought that was Carolyn Dean's husband. So they decided that Bob Marshall was not his real name, and they called him Bob Dean. But there is no Bob Dean. There is a Bob Marshall, was a friend of Carolyn Dean. Carolyn Dean was my wife. Her real name was Connie Dobbs. And that's where the confusion came from.
And you are Bob Dobbs, 822-247, UBC-CHS. I'd like to speak to Bob Dobbs. Now, Bob, when you mentioned Canadians, they're like traitor to Canadians everywhere. I've always been confused about the Canadian connection because, you know, I picked up in Subgenius books on, oh, it is something out of Texas. And then, you know, you pop up in Toronto doing this Canadian stuff. Like, what brought, are you from Canada? What's the, like, how did you, you were living in Texas. How are you a traitor to Canadians everywhere?
Yeah, good question. I was born in France, so I was French. I'm still French. And when I was stationed in North America for the Solar Government in the 50s, I met and inspired Marshall McLuhan as a young spy infiltrating his operation at the University of Toronto. I then was involved in many things in North America, and being a European, it took me a while to get adjusted to North American culture. But eventually, I was more located in Nova Scotia in the late 50s, early 60s. So I developed a bit of a Canadian identity there, but I wasn't a Canadian citizen. Then when I went to the States in the late 70s into the early 80s, I became sort of American, but by that time I still had sort of a Canadian accent molded by my Nova Scotia environment. Then I went back to Toronto in 84, because that's where Connie was stationed, and I didn't have to be in Dallas anymore. And since Canada was the Switzerland of the Solar Government, a very important place represented by the former ambassador, his name was Alan Gottlieb, the most plane flights between Washington and Toronto and Ottawa outdid any other plane flight. So Canada really ran the States in the 80s, the secret government level. And so I had to be in Canada, and I was in Toronto, and I acquired more Canadian patina, but I'm not a Canadian, but that's what they're talking about. Basically, because the album Bosnia Called You was made by Canadians, they call me the Canadian Bob Dobbs.
Bob Dobbs, please unmask the Grand Deception. What is the Grand Deception, Bob Dobbs? Where does the Reverend Ivan Stang fit in the Grand Deception? Are you two at war?
No, Reverend Ivan Stang is a close friend of mine behind the scenes, but I treat him and regard his work, and his very funny work that he and his team that they've created, the Subgeniuses, I consider that a John the Baptist kind of work, preparing the ground for my surfacing, which actually starts this year. I spoke at the Banff School of Fine Arts last December, under the auspices of Sarah Diamond and Silvera Latrange. I then spoke at Fordham University here at Lincoln Center in New York City at the McLuhan Symposium. I'm now servicing my files. The real history of the 20th century will come out in Flipside starting this next issue. Will be on the stands in a couple of weeks, the July issue. That will give you the real history of the 20th century that nobody has explained yet. And so Reverend Stang is purposely pretending he's suing Nelson Thal and the people in Toronto, but that was arranged by me, and he's a total puppet and help him promote my operation.
And you are Bob Dobbs, 822-2487, UBC-CITRs. Anybody has any questions for Bob Dobbs? Now, anybody can be Bob Dobbs, can't they, Bob Dobbs? Like, there are tons of Bob Dobbs in the phone book.
Anybody can be Bob Dobbs, modeled on the Church of the Subgenius Bob Dobbs. But nobody can be me, and nobody has the experience that I had. Because remember, the Church of the Subgenius is not what I do. I am not connected to their interpretation. For example, they thought the X's were coming a couple weekends ago, July 5th. And, of course, I've always said in my Toronto show many years ago, the X's landed, the extraterrestrial intelligence landed in February 1988 and helped me take over the Secret Council of Ten. I used to play recordings of a conversation between me and the X's. So the idea the X's were coming as a monster UFO gang a couple weeks ago was not going to be fulfilled. Now, Reverend Stang has a problem what to do with that, since his whole cult and cargo interpretation of me was based on that. So there is something about the X's that I need to clarify as the times improve towards the opportunity for me to do this.
Well, Bob Dobbs, if you are Bob Dobbs, what are you going to do? Like Jesus, you know, when he comes back, he's supposed to turn water into wine. What are you going to do, Bob Dobbs?
That's a very good metaphor, water into wine. You know, we've been through 2,000 years in astrological terms. It's been the age of Pisces, and we're moving into the age of Aquarius. Well, and that's, I'm talking strictly astrological terms. The age of Pisces was symbolized by the fish and was the period of the water. What I'm announcing is what Awareness Channel right there in Seattle, just south of you in the middle 60s, the idea that Rai returned to essence and our basic tridosha of earth, of fire, air, water is being mutated, so water is dropping off and mutating into Akasha. This will have amazing effects on all our beings, inner and external, and on our machines. We right now are seeing the externalized mechanical version of water with the liquid web experience that people have, the internet and all that stuff of the fluid interactivity. That is the machine imitating water, pretending it's the second coming and the mutation of water into wine, but the real fact is that water will be transmuted into Akasha, new being. And that's what Connie and I are bringing forward with our medical marvels and cold fusion. We're supporting the use of cold fusion around the world. The great Pons and Fleischmann invention that Japanese corporations are funding right now.
Caller, are you there? Go ahead to Bob Dobbs. This is Bob Dobbs.
Yeah, well, he says he was born in 1922. I'm wondering what he was doing during World War II, because he should have been, you know, serving. He was of age, right?
Yes, I worked for the French underground and for the French Nazis. I had to work in all levels in the solar government, and that'll actually, segments of that will be released in the July and September issues of Flipside. But in particular, a very interesting thing I will be showing is how I was smuggled into the Battle of the Bulge in December 1944 and at the Malmedy Massacre, where Otto Skorzeny and some Nazis put on some American uniforms and infiltrated the American situation there and killed 86 soldiers. I was part of that double cross.
Did you meet Adolf Hitler?
Yes, I did.
Where did you meet Adolf Hitler?
Well, my father, in Berlin, we went there, and my father represented forces more powerful than Hitler, historical forces, but he was powerless after World War I to do anything about it, and so he went, I remember, I have actual that file in an upcoming Flipside, and this is 1936, I think in the fall after the Olympics, and we, I remember sitting in the corner cowering with this maniac, who was calmly talking to my father, explaining his reaction to the fact my father said, we cannot resist you. Now, what Hitler did not know is my father had other game plans up the sleeve that would eventually remove Hitler from the world stage. But you're talking about the Up the Orphic Ante essay where I talk about who I met.
Well, solar government, what was that, working for the solar government? What was the solar government?
That began with Sputnik. Once you had a satellite network over the
planet. But, I mean, before that, you were meeting Hitler. Like, what authority were you meeting Hitler? Why would Hitler pay attention to you, Bob Dobbs, the young kid in 1936?
Because we were part of the Fondi. Now, the Fondi were the ancient oligarchic gold cartels that ran most of European society for several hundred years before the 20th century. And we represented forces that were had to deal with the new technological revolution of the 20th century, which were not really controllable by money and wealth. Money collapsed in the 1929. The managers took over, and it was a different kind of society. So those of us who had great wealth and power based on gold were in a weakened state in the 30s. We aren't now. We weren't in the 80s. That's why we brought back Prince Charles, the representative of the Fondi. But the thing is, you're asking me about what's Hitler's role in this?
Well, I was just wondering. Actually, caller, do you have anything else to add?
Yeah, he's talking about Hitler, and some people think that Hitler was Kalki, the 10th and final incarnation of the Hindu god Vishnu, who apparently was going to come on a white horse to destroy the cosmos at the end of each world cycle. I wonder if he has any comments on that.
I certainly do. Hitler was not the reincarnation of that. He was an appendage of the reincarnation of that, and you know what the reincarnation of that Hindu situation was? It was the radio environment itself. The tribal drum. The tribal drum had incredible effects on world consciousness in the 20s and 30s.
Oh, wait, caller, anything else to add at all?
Yeah, what the hell is going on down in Texas?
Nothing much now. The game's up. They had their X Day on July 5th, so Stang was tired and feathered up in Sherman, New York on July 5th because the X's didn't show up. So now he's trying to market the videos and claim that the Bob Dobbs he was talking about, the J.R. Bob Dobbs, had the wrong date, and he's hoping to continue the Carter cult to make as much money as possible.
Well, thanks so much for phoning in, Bill.
You're welcome.
And doot doot a loot doo.
Doot doot.
And you're listening to CITO Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nerd Writer Human Serviette Radio Show. And we have live here on the phone from an undisclosed location, right, Bob?
Oh, no, I'm calling from Manhattan. That's where I live now.
You are Bob Dobbs, but we don't want people to know your phone number. That's why you phoned me, right?
That's right.
Now, who are the bad guys? Who are the bad guys? Who are the bad guys?
Bad guys are the guys who killed Kennedy, who created AIDS, who are covering up the meaning of the crop circles. I was part of those people, but what I pulled off in February 88 was a weakening of their position, allowing me to surface. And I've been in the media since then, and I even have a stronger support structure since the end of 97.
Now, subgenius, what exactly is subgenius? It's impossible to define, isn't it?
Oh, no, very simple. Very simple. The definition was given, you see, I was forced to talk about those terms even though I really didn't develop them in the Church of Subgenius, but because everybody thought I was identified with Stang's Church when I was doing my talk show in Toronto, I would comment on the terms. And the meaning of subgenius, as I told him in the bar, but he created his own parody of that, but the technical meaning is that all geniuses create cultural and technological products for humans to deal with, for example, the radio environment, the reincarnation of the Hindu god. These technological products have effects, and the subgenius studies the effects or the subtext of the works of genius. So it's a subplot that works of the genius create. That's what a subgenius truly does.
What about Bob and Bill has also told me that, like, there's two choices for slack, in the pursuit of slack, at least subgenius. You know, you can either blow up or you can relax. How do you relate to that?
Well, both of those things are inevitable for kids today, for anybody born since 1967. So I wouldn't say slack is neither or either. Slack is the understanding of why that happened.
Carlo, are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead to Bob Dobbs.
I just wanted to ask Bob where he got all this stuff from.
From my experience, which I was just been explaining in the last 20 minutes, because I was involved in intelligence agencies you haven't heard of, what I call the solar government, which came in with Sputnik, I have an extra advantage that nobody has, and that's why I've gone public. I'm trying to help you people.
Caller, are you satisfied with that explanation?
I'm still not satisfied. How come I've never heard of it before then?
That's part of the problem.
No, but this caller is not, you've not heard of Bob Dobbs then, caller.
No, I've never heard of him.
And the Church of Subgenius. Now, Subgenius is quite popular. Actually, a member just ran in here to CITR. Just said he's a member of CITR Radio, Bob, and he's also a member of the Church of the Subgenius. Now, Subgenius is not a fan club, but you want people's money, don't you?
No, I don't sell any products. I've never made any money. Reverend Stang does, because that's what a cargo cult will do. They try to profit from one of the hypnosis that they got from it. But I don't want any money. I'm actually going to free up the situation so you don't have to need any money.
So you're not a salesman at all. It's those guys in Texas that are the salesmen.
That's right. That's their interpretation. It's an American interpretation of Bob Dobbs. The albums, Bob's Me Ecology, are Canadian interpretations. But I'm neither.
Anything else to add at all, caller?
What are you getting from this?
What are you getting from this?
I'm getting a chance to reappear, you people. Since everything's disappeared, you guys disappeared a long time. Most human beings disappeared in the 19th century. The machines ran the global theater. They were the actors on the stage for the 20th century, but they disappeared by 67 or even 77. So now that we're in an invisible state where there's only Bob and Connie who have successfully reappeared, I'm trying to reappear you humans. And we are at the point where we can do it.
Bob, why aren't you scared as caller? Like, caller, do you realize you were speaking to a guy who has actually met Adolf Hitler?
I don't really think he did, though, so...
Oh, I did. As a matter of fact, I talked to... there's a very good medium lives out there in Vancouver, near down in White Rock, that I use constantly, and the transcripts are put in Flipside magazine. I've talked to Frank Zappa, Marsh McLuhan. Flipside published my dialogue with Tim Leary 5 months after Tim Leary died, and I've talked to Adolf Hitler not only in person in 1936, but through a medium.
So did I.
Well, you probably can't tape it, though. I have it on tape, and I broadcast.
I have it on tape, too.
Well, let's see you broadcast, and we'll compare our interviews.
Okay, fine.
Okay, caller, thanks so much for phoning in, and doot doo doo doo.
Doot doo.
And you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nerd World of Human Serviette Radio Show. We have Bob Dobbs, J.R., Bob Dobbs, live here on the Nerd World of Human Serviette Radio Show. If anybody has any questions for Bob Dobbs, it's 822-2487-UBC-CITR. Now, you were sent on assignment to observe Marshall McLuhan, and this is by who? Who did this? Are these the people that killed Kennedy that sent you on assignment to observe McLuhan?
Yes, this was what I call the Secret Council of Ten.
And so you know, are the people who killed, like, you know the people who killed Kennedy then? Like, you met with these people?
Yes, well, I was actually one of the people who was involved murdering him.
And how come you have not, you've been not knocked off like many, like Lee Bowers, the guy in the tower and stuff like that?
Because you'll never find us. That's the point, is that you think of Arthur Croker's theory of the virtual class. We're a virtualized class. Now, I was forced, because I was born into that situation, to do that. But I'm trying to make the virtual class disappear and reappear the human element that might have been possible. So who killed Kennedy is the most dangerous question you can ask, because those people that were involved in it are still around and will still snuff anybody who gets really close and gets access to the media.
So you know who actually killed Kennedy then, Bob Dobbs?
Yes.
And you don't want to say it right now?
If I said it, I will tell you a couple things, but if I said, actually name the people, you'd be dead within a week. You, Nardwuar.
Why?
Because anybody connected to that virus, anybody who's in the media, you just cited Lee Bowers. Many people in the media used to talk to Sherman Skolnick, Mae Brussels, and other Kennedy assassination researchers. Those people in the media, they would be killed if it got really serious.
Dorothy Kilgallen.
Yes, there's someone.
So you're saying, Bob Dobbs, if you told me who killed John F. Kennedy, I would die. Would you die?
No, I'm protected.
So if you told me who killed Kennedy, and then afterwards, everybody in Vancouver that was listening to the show, and of course our ratings have gone through the roof, so it's about 6 million people, all chanted who killed Kennedy, would that mean, like, you know, all, you know, 3 million, 1 million people in Vancouver would die?
No, but that's why you'd be killed, because you have access to electric media that gets the word out.
But what if we told everybody all at once who killed Kennedy? Could we kill all Vancouver? Like, could you kill all Vancouver if you wanted to, J.R. Bob Dobbs?
No, the only person who would be killed would be the medium that broadcast it. Now, here's the point. The people, they can yell the names, and the names in some ways have been said before in different fragmented ways. Not exactly the right names, but very close, and those were close enough to get those people in trouble who said it on the media. But the point is, the populations scream all they want, but the population's disappeared. They have no access to those people, and it will never be proven that those were the people.
Caller, are you there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to ask Bob a question, if I could.
Go ahead to Bob Dobbs. This really is Bob Dobbs. Isn't that amazing?
I'm surprised, actually. I just tuned in a couple minutes ago and heard Bob. I'm pretty surprised, and I'd like to ask you a question. Maybe it's been answered before earlier in the show, but I paid my $30 to the Church of the Subgenius. I'm, you know, an ordained minister in the church.
What's your name?
And, What's
your name in the church?
July or whatever.
What's your name in the church, caller?
I'm not on a rescue ship with the sex goddesses, and I missed X Day and everything like that, and I'm wondering what happened.
Well, as I've said for many years, nothing was going to happen. I'm the Bob Dobbs that you've interpreted. You've got the church that interpreted me, presented a fraudulent image, a necessary image to prepare my arrival. But the Exodus arrived in February 88. And it's through me that...
Maybe we should just clear a bit of this up, Bob Dobbs. On July 5th, 1998, it was prophesied by other people, like William Cooper. He's the guy who also said the driver killed Kennedy. They don't want to talk anymore about Kennedy killing him at the moment. On July 5th, 1998, he said there'd be an alien invasion, but it wasn't aliens. It was actually the government flying UFOs. And you also believe this, too? And I guess this is what the caller is asking about.
I don't believe what Cooper says. That's ridiculous what Cooper says. But Reverend Stang said that July 5th would evoke the aliens, July 5th, 1998. Now, it didn't happen. And he was tired and feathered, and you can go on alt.slack and read all about it. Many people are confused who were members like our caller and wondered what to do about it. Well, that's what they got to work out. But what's lucky is you have me here to tell you what actually is going to happen and what did happen. For example, I'll tell you one thing about the Kennedy assassination, just so that you have this one fact to sort through the situation. Lee Harvey Oswald actually was one of the people who shot. Now, he was instructed to miss Kennedy, but he accidentally hit him. But the reason Oswald shot and was not supposed to hit him because he was in on the earlier attempts on Kennedy, which were merely warning shots. Now, this is something that's never been said before, but if you use that fact, you can sift through a lot of disinformation and to focus and winnow down things.
Where were the warning shots fired against Kennedy?
Because of what he was doing with legislation and with potential activities in Vietnam.
And I think the caller just left as soon as we mentioned anything more about Kennedy there. And you're listening to CITL Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Norwood Human Surveillance Radio Show. And we're live here with Bob Dobbs. Now, Bob, continuing on here, you really are Bob Dobbs, aren't you? You really are Bob Dobbs.
The original Bob Dobbs, the only.
Now, Peter Elliott Trudeau and Maggie, what's their role in all this stuff, aside from, you know, fucking Nick? What's the deal on Peter and Maggie?
There's no deal. I mean, basically, British intelligence brought in Pierre Trudeau. He had been very active in Paris in the late 40s and early 50s when I was there, and he was a necessarily well-conditioned British intelligence agent, which was setting up the position of Canada as the Switzerland of the solar government. He was a very important person, a very nice man, and he acted out his role in history, and he's caused the division of Canada.
How about Prince Charles? You met Prince Charles?
Yes, he was one of the people I had to fight on the Secret Council of Ten.
And have you corresponded with him still? Like, can you give me his phone number?
I stopped corresponding him in 1990, when Lockdown Bob Rule happened in 1990. You had people that I had problems with on Secret Council of Ten went down. The first was the death of Prince Turnin Taxis. He went down in 1990. Gorbachev went down in December 1991. He was the figurehead for the Romanov faction, not the Romanov dynasty, but a Romanov oligarchical faction. The third person, Prince Charles, went down in June 92, 6 weeks after Bob's Meat Ecology came out, and that was with the publication of Lady Diana's books, which was the destruction of Prince Charles' image. He is now walking wounded and irrelevant. Here it is 6 years later. That was capped off in 97, the final move by Bob to destroy his image with the death of Lady Di. Now, she wasn't murdered, but it certainly didn't make him look any better.
What would you like us to do, Bob Dobbs? Like, what would you like to achieve? What can we do? What would you like us to do, Bob Dobbs? And remember, it's 822-247-UBC-CHO. You could ask Bob Dobbs about Pierre Elliott Trudeau or Prince Charles. 822-247-UBC-CHO. What would you like us to, what can we do?
Well, you had an event there in April 22nd, that weekend, 1998. You had the Cold Fusion Conference, the 7th International Conference. Cold Fusion is something that's not talked about in Canadian-American media, yet Pons and Fleischmann, the inventors of that technology, this really breakthrough technology, which is going to help us all retrieve our slack, you can talk up Cold Fusion by getting Infinite Energy magazine out of New Hampshire. Just go on the web, punch in Infinite Energy, and it gives a summary of the conference in April in Vancouver. You can be proud there. So I'm addressing you in Vancouver. It's part of the reason why I called you, because it's a good place to talk. I haven't talked there before, and you've got this Cold Fusion enthusiasm bubbling there. You should encourage that and have shows about it.
What Bobisms, J.R. Bob Dobbs, have been co-opted by mainstream society? Like the movie Slacker, that's out of Texas. Like there's a Doritos ad with the word Bob in it. Didn't the Northwest Territories want to rename themselves Bob?
Yeah, that's true. There's three examples. Well, the Church of Subgeniuses Stan created was very popular in college campuses in the 80s. Now, that's Generation X breeding ground. And when Generation X started to get into the media in 1991-92, had little influence, they wanted to talk about their past to celebrate their youth. So they used those images. Now, what's really important, though, is that that began in 1990, and that was, as shown in my chart and flip side, the beginning of Lockdown Bob Rule, which was a 1990 to 2020 period. That is the beginning of Bob hogging the media. Now, it's echoes of me. It's not me. I show up in 98, the actual person. But what's happening is in the early 90s, you had so many events from Twin Peaks on over to the revival of McLuhan that I was involved in that reflect that.
Mark Mothersbaugh of Devo also put like a Bob character on the cover of one of his records, didn't he?
Well, he was one of the first to give Stang a chance to move out of the little Dallas parochial situation he was in 1980. It was Paul Mavridis at Rip Off Press in 1980 who discovered the Subgenius pamphlet, and Devo guy, Mark of Devo, got turned on, and he helped promote it. His name was in the book, and so Devo had clout, so that's why Stang got off the ground a little bit in the college world.
And Pee Wee Herman had images of Bob, didn't he, in the beginning of his Playhouse?
That's right. So it's a very important cultural meme. Now it's only an Android meme. I'm the real meme. I'm the one that overcomes the Android meme. So the Android meme has been focusing on Bob more and more. As a matter of fact, you have President Clinton in the White House who acts out of Bob, J.R. Bob Dobbs' lifestyle.
Have you talked to Clinton at all before, Bob Dobbs? 822-2487-UBC-CITR if you want to speak to J.R. Bob Dobbs.
I only talked to him in the 80s before he disappeared in 1990.
What is it like? Your Rolodex must be totally overflowing with phone numbers and information. I mean, have you, like, saved the world on an afternoon? Like, you're just watching TV, you see some shit going down, and you phone up your buddy, and he tells to pull back the tanks? Have you done that at all, Bob Dobbs?
Yes. I did it on September 17th, 1982, with Dr. Beter.
Explain, please. I'm unfamiliar with the situation.
Well, Dr. Beter, if you know the album Men in Black by The Strangers, about 1980, you ever seen that album?
The Stranglers?
I think it was The Stranglers, yes. They had an album, I think it was called Men in Black, and they had a picture of a Dr. Beter audio letter, a cassette. Now, Dr. Beter was a very important person who revealed a lot of stuff in the 70s, and his work and his warning peaked in 1982 when the Bolsheviks, the ex-Bolsheviks of Moscow, took over the American Pentagon and set up the first nuclear strike. This is in that dark period of the first years of the Reagan presidency where it looked like the evil empire was going to go to war, or that the Americans were going to prompt it. Well, the Pentagon was prompted by the Bolsheviks, who were forced to hibernate back to the United States. In September 1782, they were going to do a first strike against Moscow. But thanks to my coordinating efforts with the Gorbachev faction and Dr. Beter, that was aborted.
Caller, are you there?
I am.
Go ahead to Bob Dobbs.
Am I talking to Bob now?
You are talking to Bob. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Hello, Bob. I'm glad you're on the scene. You finally made it. Listen, could you explain a little more about the Fondy?
Ah, do you know what the term means?
Well, it's something to do with the gold cartel.
Right. The Fondy is the European term for the trust funds. Now, the trust funds go back, it's a technical term in Italian law.
Uh-huh.
And so Prince Charles can trace his family back 1,000 years in general terms. But he actually represents the German oligarchy, the German fondue, and fondue is plural for the singular term fondo.
To do with chocolate.
No. And the,
okay.
Or,
how about
Jane Fonda?
Nicholas Bones? Is that, anything?
Who?
Tsar Nicholas, they're trying to put him back in the ground now and all that. Is that any kind of a connection?
Yeah, that's another. That's the, remember, in the 19th century, Queen Victoria was related to all the royal families.
Right.
And that is the Fondi. Those families, those economic consolidations that go back 200 or 300 years.
Is there a way to topple any of this? I mean, are you a good guy, Bob Dobbs? Are you a good guy? Are you like a Robin Hood? Are we happy to have you? Are you fighting for us, whoever us or whoever we're fighting against?
You damn well better believe that. The thing is I wasn't sure if I was a good guy until 1990. In the battle from 77 to 90, when I was working it out with the Android meme, which was a very virtual and much of the kind of environment that you people are worried about experiencing over the next couple of years through programs like the Teletubbies, these situations are virtualizations that actually happened secretly in the late 70s, early 80s. In that period where I had to kill a lot of people and involve a lot of scandals just to clear up the mess, I may not look like a decent person, neither my wife. But
so you have done a few bad things then, Bob Dobbs?
Yes, but...
Like what generally have you done? Like what bad things have you done?
The worst things. I was involved in creating AIDS, for example.
Creating apes?
AIDS, AIDS.
And in what respect? I thought the Japanese developed that in World War II.
No, they didn't. It was developed in Africa. It was actually developed in the 70s. This is exclusive. I've said this on other talk shows, but the reasoning behind AIDS was to have war without weapons. And the idea was to create an immune-weakening genetically engineered virus that could be put into an enemy population and they would be weakened but not killed. They would immediately pick up local diseases, and once that phased out over 2 to 3 weeks, you would have moved in, you then have a healthy population once they get over the effects of the temporary AIDS virus, and they can work for you. That was the final strategy of the military oligarchs.
So wait, do you have the solution for AIDS? Do you have the cure for AIDS?
When I found that in 1990, then I realized I was a good guy.
Okay, so why don't you just give us the cure for AIDS, and then that's it. I mean, then we're rocking.
Well, that's what I'm doing here in New York. That's what Connie's doing. Now, here's where we get to Why haven't you heard of me? Because the Bolshevizing, the consolidation of media control in North America makes it very hard for me to get out. But also, with the decentralization of the Internet and shows like this, I do get out a bit. Now, this will happen over the next couple of years and decades, and over the long run, I'll be an old man then, but I'm very healthy. Because I have these kind of treatments, I will get this stuff out to you.
Bob, have you ever, like, walked into a room and seen somebody there, and they felt your presence and just wanted to run away because they know what you stand for? They know that you know what's really going on? Like chance encounters at supermarkets?
Yes, only young children pick that up.
No older people? Like, you haven't walked in a room with G. Gordon Liddy at all, and he knew who you were without you having to say anything, and he knew to run away because you know what the secrets were?
G. Gordon Liddy was such a lower level, he wouldn't know about me. I'm not knowable very much in any of the espionage terms that you properly think about, like Watergate or G. Gordon Liddy. These kind of people had nothing to do on my level, and they don't know about me.
Caller, are you there? Still there?
I'm still there.
And you have anything else to add to Bob Dobbs at all, caller?
I'd just like to say hi to Connie. And did you ever go to Digby, Nova Scotia?
Now, you must know me because Digby is a very important place. Why do you say that?
Well, I have some big connections to Digby.
Yeah, no, Digby is important. I have been there many times in Digby.
Good, good, good. Hey, the house on the hill, that's where we lived.
Ah, okay.
Well, caller, thank you for phoning in. And
very much, and give my love to Connie.
Caller,
okay.
Caller, doot-doot-doot-doot.
Doot-doot.
And you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nerdwater Human Severe Radio Show, and we're here still live with Bob Dobbs. It's 822-247-UBC-CITR if you want to ask Bob Dobbs any questions. UBC-CITR. Now, you love punk 77 style, don't you, Bob?
You asked if I liked it?
You like punk 77 style, don't you?
Yes, because I was the one who kind of got it off the ground at CBGB's in 75. I was hanging out with Dean Latimer and a bunch of people from High Times as part of my work in pop culture, and I got up and I was at a poetry reading on the CBGB stage, and I did what had never been done before. I read my poetry while doing push-ups.
Boy, if I were you, I'd retire. I mean, I would have met Hitler, invented punk rock, and invented AIDS, and had the solution for AIDS. That's enough to retire on there, Bob Dobbs.
Well, if I was a human, yes. If I was a pink. But I have a long-range, long-distance plan, so I'm not going to rest on my laurels. Those are puny laurels compared to what I'm really going to do.
Now, Bob Dobbs, I met a guy a few years ago. I interviewed a guy called Henry 77. Henry 77. And he was into Fibonacci numbers. What exactly are Fibonacci numbers, and what was this guy Henry 77 possibly talking about?
Oh, that's really important. The Fibonacci numbers are very important in geometry, but the man who has developed that into a whole new geometry that anticipates the treatment for AIDS and the treatment collectively for us called fusion is Lyndon LaRouche. If you go and find his books, he's not a very popular person in Canada, but you read his books, he develops the important discovery of the Fibonacci series, which was done around 1100 or 1200 A.D., and the geometry that comes out of that leads into incredible understandings that's post-fractal.
Like the Kennedy assassination, what's the Fibonacci understanding about the Dealey Plaza? Isn't there some numbers that go back and forth there?
Yes, the number 22 especially, November 22nd. 22, if you look at the Bosnian Ecology album, you see a tetrad. That's what McLuhan developed, the tetrad. You see a tetrad on the number 22, which obsolesces the number 7, retrieves the number 18, and flips into 14. So the November 22nd date, you will find in the CIA there had been many activities done on the 22nd of various months. It was called the October 22nd movement. So the importance of the number 22 is the numerical aspect of Dealey Plaza. As for the Fibonacci series and Baroque, Orphic Baroque spirals, that was the quintessential postmodern espionage event, which turned into a house of mirrors that nobody could solve.
Caller,
we're part of it.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Bob Dobbs, go ahead.
Bob Dodds, I'm amazed to hear your voice. I've read Reverend Stang's writings in the past, and I'm having a hard time believing it's you. And I'm wondering if you can demonstrate your identity to us through some kind of description of a future event that's coming soon, or something that will happen today, or some kind of demonstration of truth of who you are.
Okay, that's a tough one because I'm involved in so much, and so much of it has disappeared that there's not much that I do that you would perceive. But just a second, Connie, have we got any predictions over the next couple of weeks?
and you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and another Human Servant Radio Show. And J.R. Bob Dobbs just thinking there for a second. Bob, you still there?
Yes. Connie suggests that you will see, here's a prediction. You will see a technology that will cause incredible healing effects, which will be made up of one quarter homeopathy, one quarter herbs, one quarter acupuncture, and one quarter device that puts a magnetic spin on those first three parts. That device will surface over the next 2 or 3 years. Now, that's something that you have to wait for. But as for particular situations right now, I predict that Nelson Thal overcomes Derek DeKirchhoff.
Caller, anything else to add at all?
No, that's perfect. Thank you.
All right, well, keep on rocking the free world and doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Doot-doot.
And I, like the caller, Bob Dobbs, I'm just amazed. It really is you, Bob Dobbs, isn't it? You really are Bob Dobbs.
That's right.
And it's weird. I'll let you phone me out of the blue. Last week, I get a phone call from Bob Dobbs.
That's because of the Cold Fusion Conference, because of other matters, and because that was one area I've never broadcast in. Adbusters should have had me in their magazine years ago, but they got hijacked.
How about musical conspiracies? Like, you know, the Grateful Dead, as much as I want to hate them, they were getting kind of big. And next thing you know, they went on tour with Sting. Like, Sting was backing up the Grateful Dead. Then, what happens? Jerry dies from the Grateful Dead. Now, Sting's manager is Miles Copeland, and Miles Copeland's dad is in the CIA. Is there any connection there for the musical conspiracy of the Grateful Dead, Sting, and Miles Copeland's dad at all, Bob Dobbs?
It's fun to think that way, but there are not too many conspiracies in the music industry. The only big conspiracy was the suppression of Frank Zappa. Frank Zappa was the greatest musician of all time, and his music will live well into the age of Slack. And the fact that kids don't have enough input on Zappa's music and don't know about it, even though he and Garcia died almost at the same age, even though Zappa was a couple years older, Zappa is the great big secret. His music, you take it, listen to it on drugs, or listen under the effect of the D-cell organic water, or you listen to it sober, or you listen to it while talking to me, you will get incredible release.
Caller, are you there?
I'm there.
Go ahead to Bob Dobbs.
Yeah, you mentioned the television program Teletubbies.
Yes.
And I'm just wondering if I should stop my young child from watching that show.
That's a damn good question. Here's what you do. You watch it every third week. In other words, you implement a micromedia ecology. Do not do it every week, because since that is implanted as a genetic operation and is necessary for the programming of virtual children today, the problem is that you don't want your child to be out of touch, but you don't want them to be totally programmed. So I would do it every third show, and always remember to understand me about how those little objects, the Teletubbies, are the Android meme commercialized. The Android meme was dominant from 90 to 97. It has now been subsumed, symbolized by Tina Brown being fired from the New Yorker here in New York City. And that operation of the Teletubbies is now strictly, to quote McLuhan, when it's obsolete, it works. Teletubbies represents the Android meme. The Android meme is dead, so we can entertain it now.
All right, caller, doot-doot-a-loot-doo. And if anybody has any other questions, winding up here with Bob Dobbs, a good friend of Robert Anton Wilson, right, Bob?
Yes, we go back way back to Playboy.
822-2487-UBCCHA. What employment have you had? Yeah, Robert Anton Wilson worked as an editor at Playboy. What employment have you had? Are you one of these trust fund babies?
Well, my father was a butler within the trust fund environment. I never was a member of the oligarchy per se. I wasn't part of the bloodline. But my family goes way back. As a matter of fact, you can look up a Charles Dickens story about 1854 called The Toady Tree. And it talks about the Dobbs family and how they seem to know everything in importance in British politics well before anybody else. That was my great-grandfather that Charles Dickens was referring to, and that's the Dobbs family. We've been butlers to the oligarchy for many centuries, and my father's mission, as will be spelled out in the files and Flipside coming in the next couple of issues, his mission was to free me from the trap of him and his father's and the whole descendancy and the previous line entrapment win the oligarchy, and his name was René, and he pulled it off. We found that out in 1990 when I successfully freed myself from that situation.
And you are Bob Dobbs, and you're speaking here live on CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, the Nargwater Human Survey Radio Show, 822-2487, UBC CITR. You could ask, I mean, I don't know when you're going to be on the radio again, Bob Dobbs, unless you keep phoning the Nargwater Show every week here until we get everything completely cleared out of Vancouver with all the information parlayed to you. But it's 822-2487, UBC CITR. We're on CITR. Now, your friend Dave Emery broadcasts a show every Sunday night on CITR. Dave Emery does Radio Free America. People can tune into that. I'm sure I've heard the show.
Selfless work. Her files were incredible. I helped organize them and put them away after she died in October 3rd, 1988. And Dave Emery's tapes are a great record of the work she did, plus the work that Dave and his team have put together beyond that. So it's a great tribute to Vancouver that you guys play his tapes. But Mae Bressel, you go back and study her work in terms of someone who wasn't involved with the Kennedy assassination. Let me tell you this. When Marshall McLuhan spoke to Mae Bressel, remember McLuhan died in 1980, Mae Bressel dies in 1988. I spoke to them both through a medium, and McLuhan told me that when he talked to Mae Bressel, her spirit, he walked up to her and said, congratulations, you were the closest on the Kennedy assassination. Mae Bressel was right about many conspiracies and wrong about a few insignificant number of them. But Mae Bressel was an incredible person. She grew up in the wealthy section of Los Angeles because her father was a rabbi to all the movie moguls and Einstein and situations like that. And her family owned the I. Magnin clothing store, famous store in the United States. Mae Bressel left that, got involved with, on a pen pal relationship with Henry Miller up in Carmel, California. And then when Kennedy was shot, she was disturbed by that. Up to that point, she wanted to be a novelist. But then two days later, when her daughter, who identified with Lee Harvey Oswald, was preparing to send him a letter and a teddy bear or something like that, when they saw Lee Harvey Oswald shot, that was when Mae Bressel was traumatized, and she decided to get to the bottom of it. And she spent, from that point, getting Christmas 64, got the Warren Commission files, worked on them until 70, 71, went public with it in 71, and then Paul Craster made her famous with their breakthrough story on Watergate, which story in The Realist was funded by John and Yoko.
It's interesting, I was doing an interview with Oliver Stone, and I mentioned Mae Bressel, and he really had no idea who she was. Has Oliver Stone stole from you at all?
No. Oliver Stone didn't know enough to get it right in his movie, but I'll tell you, on the album, Bosme Calls You Squared, Nelson Thal and Dave Neufeld excerpted something I said, which was very important. The reason Oliver Stone is the hero in the Kennedy assassination genre is that he put it into movie form. Now, the movie form is the archetypal American medium, and you can write all the books you want to Americans, but it doesn't mean anything. But if you put it in movie form, an approximation of the truth, then that really communicates, and his movie fortunately caused a lot of change in terms of releasing the archives. So Oliver Stone, like Dave Emery says, is a great American hero. But it doesn't matter that he didn't get the exact details. The point is he made a great movie.
Caller, go ahead to Bob Dobbs.
Hi there, Bob. I have a question. Are you familiar with the Art Bell Show?
Yes, there are people trying to get me on that.
Great. Yeah, that's my question, actually, is I want to hear you on that show so you can be on there for longer than this. Not to the little Nardwar show, but like a good 5-hour interview would be great. And also, I've heard rumors about the Art Bell Show that it's some sort of black op that he's working for some interesting people. What do you have to say about that?
Oh, that's very important. The main point about the UFO situation since 1989, when there was a real contact made in Moscow or outside of Moscow on October 9th, 1989. And October 9th, 1989 was the day TASS released the story. TASS has always stood by it, but the American media knew that through higher sources that this was a real story. So the agenda of the 90s was to make any alien civilization the enemy. So that's why you have the X-Files and the popularization of Cooper and even the popularization of Art Bell. The whole point is to make the aliens be considered enemies. Now, I'll tell you, they're coming from Bootes. That's a constellation of seven stars, and it's B-O-O with an umlaut over one of the O's, T-E-S. That's the actual civilization, not the Pleiadians, there's no Greys and these kind of silly things. They are very interested in our civilization. They're not coming in with a superiority complex. and they are making the crop circles and doing a few other things. There is no abductions going on. The only people abducted were Barney Hill and his wife, and that was in the 60s, and what was true about that is that they came through hypnosis. It came out that they had a map that didn't match with astronomy in the 60s, but 8 years later, it mapped with new discoveries with better equipment. It's that kind of information that comes through that proves a real abductee, but there's only been 5 people abducted. 2 of them were the Hills, the other 3 haven't told anybody, and nothing happens to them. It's done by the Boudians on purpose for their manipulation, and they are coming to set up a wonderful relationship with us because they don't feel superior. They are interested and amazed at how we operate in this environment. That is the truth about the aliens. That's another good story I like to put out, and it's a fact that the aliens are not a threat to us, and so, of course, the American media has to present it as a dark black operation just to create fear going. And there's no fear for disappeared people, which you all are. There's no fear for reappeared people, and that's me.
But Cooper says there are no aliens, and that the aliens is the government flying UFOs. Do you actually believe, or have you met it, there are aliens then? I mean, I believed Cooper as the teachings of William Cooper, but now you're saying there really are aliens? I don't know what to do.
Well, Cooper is ridiculous. No, there are aliens, and I'm telling you, there are many. The universe is teeming with life, but the civilization that is closest and assigned to deal with us and to bring us into that level of recognition, the Boudians have special entities called the ambassadors, members of the civilization who are trained to ecologically interact with a new civilization when there's going to be contact. And so there were the Pleiadians, their remnants of their contact go way back into British Columbia Native Indian history. But the Pleiadians are not the ones contacting us. There's an inferior UFO race that's doing the cattle mutilations.
Well, can you do anything like superhuman at all? Bob Dobbs, like you said, you can channel and meet these aliens, and you can meet people after they're dead. What superhuman powers do you have, Bob Dobbs?
I had luck.
You have what?
Luck, L-U-C-K.
Okay, you have luck, but I'm saying, like, for a joke, could you flick all the lights on and off in Vancouver tonight, you know, for us? Could you remember to call us and prove to your Bob Dobbs, could you do something to Vancouver tonight, like flick the lights on or make it really rain hard or something weird or thunder? Could you do something to Vancouver? Do you have that sort of power?
No, I have not one iota of that kind of power.
Well, could you, like, phone up your friends in the UFOs and they could drive you here and you could, you know, drop a leaf on my garden or something? I mean, is there any, can you do any of that sort of thing?
No.
Like time travel?
No, I can't do any of that. And the point is that when I had contact with the aliens, it was through a special vehicle in 1988. And it's not a very knowable situation. They helped me slightly, but there, once that was accomplished, there was no need to interact with them anymore. And I would wait till they show up to do their public thing, which is something humanity is pining for.
Caller,
carried on my work.
Caller, anything else to add to Bob Dobbs at all?
Hopefully I can hear you on the Art Bell show sometime. Also, I was wondering, is there any kind of email address in order to get in touch with you, or some kind of website on the internet?
There's Mr. Purple, isn't there?
Yeah, you can email me at purple@ingress, that's I-N as in Ed, I-N-G-R-E-S-S.com. You can email me all you want.
One more time again, that is purple@ingress, I-N-G-R-E-S-S.com. That's purple@ingress.com. And actually, Purple, who is Purple? He's like an underling of you, Bob?
It's a homage to the people who work for me who run the website and all that stuff. It's a homage to Captain Beefheart.
And Caller, you had a second point there you wanted to ask.
Oh, me? I can't remember.
Okay, well, keep on.
Nadra, I just want to say that have that caller call Art Bell. There are people trying to get me on Art Bell, but if it's a black operation, it may be hard. But the more people who lobby to get me on, then I'll get on.
Caller, you have a mission.
Yeah, I'd like to hear him on there. That would be great.
So you're
like a good solid 5 hours. Do you listen to that show yourself, Nadra?
Yeah, I do, actually. And I'll just, caller, doot-doo-da-loot-doo.
Doot-doo.
And actually, I don't know if the caller remembers this, but a few years ago, or maybe it was a couple, I don't know when it was, but they talked about this giant meteoroid dust that's going to drop in the oceans and turn all the food supply to death. Like, there's not going to be any food supply left because the meteoroid dust is going to drop on the earth and it's going to kill all the animals. Do you know anything about that at all, Bob Dobbs?
Well, I know it's not true. You see, the media runs...
But the Hale-Bopp comet's going to have some stuff that's going to drop off it. It's going to drop in the oceans, and it's going to kill the fish, and we're going to have nothing to eat, and we're all going to die.
Listen, I know there's not much for your generation to do but play on the media, but the media's disappeared, and yet you do need information, fake information, any kind of information. It's called phatic communication, and that's what you guys get involved in. But personally, I'm telling you, do not identify with anything you broadcast, because it has nothing to do with what's really going on. And there's a lot of good news surfacing, and as Negative Land mimes with its own name, which is on Bob's Me Ecology Perk 2, Negative Land says you're forced to live in a negative land, a disappeared media, empty media situation. Read Arthur Croker's book Data Trash for a good, accurate description of the disappearances we've gone through and the media, and therefore ignore any information. Carry on your show, Nardwuar, do whatever you want, but don't take it seriously.
We still have time for a few more calls, 822-247-UBCCITR to Bob Dobbs. To Bob Dobbs, really, Bob Dobbs. 822-247-UBCCITR. Bob, can you say a bit more about the JFK assassination? Were many elements of the JFK assassination botched? Like, are there any interesting JFK tidbits that you can give the listeners? Like, was Zapruder paid by the CIA maybe to film the shooting?
No, that was a botching. That was not foreseen. You see, certain bureaucrats never had any understanding of media. They didn't see it as part of the environment. They're so lost in paper chasing. And actually, the luck of that happening, they did not foresee, and that caused a lot of problems.
How about Marina Oswald? Have you met her at all?
Yeah, I knew Lee. I knew all these people. I was involved with them.
What was Lee Harvey Oswald like? Was he an agent? He was trained by the government? Is it like the movie JFK portrays it all, Bob Dobbs?
Yeah, he was trained, but he was a passive guy who would adapt to anybody who was around him. He wasn't that educated, and came from an environment where he was passive. So when he was in Russia, he modulated himself to that environment. When he came back here, he was exploited in that context. He's not the whiz that some people might say, but he did actually pull the trigger.
Now, you say you know who killed John F. Kennedy, like the actual people behind the assassination of John Kennedy. Like, it wasn't Lee Harvey Oswald acting alone.
No, I know who arranged it.
Like, who arranged it. Can you offer any hints to the listeners? Like, is there any on-site JFK investigation that people can do, that can check out to find out who really did kill Kennedy, Bob Dobbs?
No, they'd never find out, but as certain information comes out over the next 10 years, thanks to Oliver Stone's movie, if you follow some of my hints, which I will give over time, then you'll be able to figure it out.
How about some other botched little stuff about the assassination, like a getaway plane, like extra Secret Service agent dying at the scene of the assassination of John Kennedy? Anyway, I'm just getting some little tidbits here, Bob Dobbs, of JFK tidbits from the actual.
Well, you'll be surprised. What may seem a tidbit may get you killed, so I think we better move into another topic.
Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead to Bob Dobbs.
I have a question. I was wondering if you could elaborate on who are the Freemasons and just what control or influence do they have over our culture?
They didn't have much influence, but Robert Anton Wilson's got it pretty right historically. The Freemasons were the scientists of the Enlightenment period, and they did accomplish a bringing in of the Industrial Revolution and weakened the power of the church, and now they're just...
Careful.
In what sense?
I want to make sure you don't say anything bad.
About what?
About the Masons.
No, the Masons. I'm not saying bad.
I know. I was just joking now.
Go ahead, Bob. Yeah, the point is that the Masons did conspire. Marshall McLuhan explains this in Gutenberg Galaxy. Once you were able, through printing presses and newspapers, to orchestrate masses of people and lead an industrial revolution, you could control the purse strings, and that's what the Freemasons did. Now, they then were obsolesced by World War I, and they've just become a YMCA kind of operation, because information was the real control and the developments of technology, and that's the level I'd been on, and that was the solar government. Let's say the Freemasons created the world government, but the world government was obsolete by 1945. So the Freemasons are dangling in a disappeared state like a lot of everybody else.
Who controls food? Like, is it the solar government? Like, you know, food. Why are people starving? Like, there's tons of food in the world, but nobody knows who controls the grain cartels. Like, why are people starving? There's tons of grain everywhere. Who's making those decisions?
The machines are making the decisions. The machines have ecological relationships to work out. You can understand and read Marshall McLuhan as a description not of his point of view of the global theater, but actually the way the machines looked at each other, the way the radio regarded the book, the way the television regarded the computer. Those relationships worked out in a tetradic formula were the things that determined who got the food. And because it was limited to the purse strings and visual space, or what we call money and gold, that is a big factor in the Esperanto that the machines use to discuss things. Now, that all disappeared by 1990 with the breakthrough of cold fusion, which will finally free us, because everything up to that point was based on friction. All interactions between humans and machines was based on friction. Cold fusion gives us more energy and output than went in. So we're into a frictionless society. So money will be diminished into a minuscule role as a fellow medium, and until we implement that, then people have food problems.
Can you name any names, though, of who's making these decisions? Like, is Pope John Paul doing it? Was Anton LaVey doing it?
No, that's the point. The machines are making the decisions. This is what Croker calls the virtual species and the virtual gene and the virtual electronic body. These are the data relationships in computer banks. Now, the computers run this situation. That was what it's been since the middle 70s. And I call that the Android meme. There's no human element in terms of influence on that level.
And you are J.R. Bob Dobbs, 822-247-UBCCHR. We have time for a few last little phone calls here with Bob Dobbs from the church. Where are you, Bob, right now, phoning from?
I'm in Manhattan.
From Manhattan. This is Bob Dobbs from the Church of Subjects. Really is Bob Dobbs. 822-2487-822-UBCCHR, 822-2487. If you have any questions for Bob Dobbs, so you've been on Canadian radio before, I guess, Brave New Waves. You've been on, have you done much of the Canadian media circuit at all?
Well, I had a radio show every 2 weeks for 4 years in Toronto.
But you're not really a big fan of Wired Magazine, are you? The Global Business Network and their house organ, Wired Magazine. What about that?
Well, that was an operation by the Android meme after 1990 to retrieve the wired culture, the wireless electronic body, as an advertising ploy and hoiking up my old buddy Marshall McLuhan. It was a failed situation. It was an afterimage, and that's why I set up the fake interview with Marshall McLuhan that they published in the January 96 situation, the January 96 issue. That is what I did to sabotage that magazine, and that magazine is kaput now. It's been bought over by British intelligence called Cy Newhouse, and it'll be just treated like a test tube product from this point on.
Bechtel Corporation or the Trilateral Commission? What about those names for people out there in radio land wondering?
Right, Trilateral Commission, Bechtel's world government. Solar government has no name. It is the relationship and organization of the machines with people who were the Secret Council 10 organizing that. They lost control of those machines in 1977, and for 13 years it was pretty hairy because the machines had died. They reincarnated as a human substitute, and that was through the 80s. And you can call it the Teflon effect, but it was very hairy, and that's when I didn't know what was going on, but I figured it out and transcended, and that is not a problem anymore.
Can you walk into Bechtel Corporation meetings or Trilateral Commission meetings or Bilderberg Group meetings at all? Are you equal with these people at all, Bob Dobbs?
My assistants could go in there because I'm from the solar government, or the ex-solar government. It's not there anymore. But in the old days when we could do this, I would not enter there because I could not be known. But my aides could infiltrate on the world government level.
And are they fun people, these groups? Are they out for fun? What do they ultimately attempt to achieve here?
They're motivated by human instinct. Bungled human instincts.
Caller, go ahead, sorry.
And that is what they're motivated by. Bungled human instinct. Rage, anger, and the general suffering a human being used to experience.
And you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And we have Bob Dobbs here on the line. And we have a caller right now for Bob Dobbs. Caller, are you there? Caller, hello. Hello, are you there? Caller. Caller.
There, now the caller's there.
Caller, go ahead.
Actually, no, the caller isn't there. Now the caller's there.
Caller.
Hi.
Go ahead to Bob Dobbs.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing?
Any friend of Connie's, friend of mine.
Okay. I was reading something David Icke wrote. I don't know if you're familiar with that name.
He's an ex-footballer.
Hmm?
He's a football guy.
Yeah.
David Icke.
No, he writes books and stuff. Anyway, he was saying something about, I forget the name of the supposed ring, and the U.S. supposedly about 40,000 people go missing every year. Children mostly here and never found, and he said that it has to do with these children being shipped off as sex slaves to the Middle East. I wonder, what is all this about? Do you know anything about it?
That's probably true. There's a great trade, unfortunately, in human organs and sex slaves all over the world. And that is part of the darkness that the Android meme has created.
And he also said that many of these are part of mind control experiments perpetrated by the CIA, that of,
you know, MK Ultra, that type of thing, right?
Yeah, well, MK Ultra failed. It didn't completely work, and because the environments were the real programming of populations, they found they didn't need to concentrate on people's minds. They just stole them. And they, most people act very intimidated today in North America, and young people do, and that intimidation is enough to, when you hijack somebody, they can't do anything about it with the sophistication of the technological tunnels that the Android meme has. So yes, many people are abducted, and not by UFOs, but by evil, bungled instincts.
Are any androids, what are they powered by? Is there a way to stop them at all? I guess the caller is wondering how we can stop these abductions.
You can't stop them. Only by bringing me into a more public role where I can announce the means to getting past the structure they work in.
So how are you going to do that, Bob Dobbs? How are you going to get into a more public role?
Well, for Vancouver, maybe I should call in once a month or something. That would get it going. But let me tell you, I'm here in New York, which is the virtual capital of virtual reality, and I'm working every day to help create this situation I'm talking to you about. So all you can do is wait and talk it up.
Caller, do you feel satisfied with Bob Dobbs' explanation?
Sort of, but I had a more personal question. I know somebody who has a missing relative, of course, dead ends that lead to nowhere, and the questions asked as to where she could be led to asking about this trade, wondering where she could have gone. Is there any way that you can, just ordinary people can break through this and maybe find where their missing people have gone?
Well, I don't want to be pessimistic, but it is pretty hard because there is no channel for human beings to communicate with through the media or through people to get to that network. Now, that's a big problem. So I would hope and I would get the relatives to pray. Now, I don't mean to pray in any traditional Catholic Protestant sense, but to somehow energize that the astral plane helps them serendipitously to find the person, the missing person, if they're still alive. In other words, you got to start thinking magically and not in any superstitious or silly way, but just know that the astral plane is in trouble right now. Where we go when we die is in trouble because technology is moving into that area. So there's many entities on the astral plane who are helping us. And if you're open to that idea, they will help you find your missing people. Maybe not right away, but the answers you need will come.
All right, caller. Doot-doot-a-loot-doot. And you listen to CHR Radio, F1 Cable 1 through Vancouver, Columbia, Canada. Just quickly here, Bob Dobbs, Bilderberg Group, mention them. What about the Club of Rome? What's the Club of Rome?
Ah, the Club of Rome are really important. They're actually more important than the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderbergers, even though the memberships overlap. The Club of Rome is from Italy, and that's where the word fondi comes from. The Italians have a pretty interesting history. If you look at Frank Zappa's book, his autobiography, he talks about his father, a very intelligent scientist, had a theory, and his father was Sicilian, had a theory that everything that influenced the world came out of Sicily. Well, I think he's onto something there. I'm not talking about bashing Italians or anything, but historically, Italy is an amazing place.
How about Bavarian Illuminati? That's not Italy, but it's Bavaria. What about the Bavarian Illuminati?
Well, that's the Protestant reaction to the Italian power, the Italian Catholic stronghold. So that's the later Protestant attempt to overcome the Sicilian control.
It seems really complicated, all these groups. It's like learning techno these days, all these like Tobias terms, like deep house, in-house. I was like, there's so many different terms for all these organizations. Don't they fight amongst each other?
They do, and I would recommend the strategy of quadrophenia. In other words, explore that information all the time, knowing that you will not be able to find the answers unless you actually meet the people, but you're lucky because one of them showed up, namely me, and take what I say about where to look forward to, because you're never going to be able to get that history. That history is kaput. It's gone. It's virtualized. It's covered up by the machines.
Caller, are you there?
It exists.
Yeah,
that history is true.
Caller, go ahead to Bob Dobbs.
Hey, Bob, what do you know about the moon landing?
It happened.
It happened?
Yeah.
It wasn't faked on a Nevada desert at all?
No, as a matter of fact, just to tie it back into Mae Brussel interviewed the guy who did that story back in the early 80s, And when she came to her station in Carmel, California...
It was napalmed.
No. He got sick and couldn't talk. And I would say that's because Mae Brussels vibrated such an integrity that his lies couldn't even get out of his mouth. And it's not that he's an evil guy, but he was playing a hoax and he came into the wrong studio. When you're with someone powerful like Mae Brussels, you choke. And I can't remember his name. It's Keyser.
Bill Kaysing.
Kaysing, that's it. K-E-Y-S-I-N-G. He choked, and that's the only tape Mae Brussels sent out to her listeners that she had to apologize for because there was no content because he got sick in the interview.
All right, caller, doot-doot-a-loot-doo. And we have another caller. You've lit up the phone lines here, Bob Dobbs. You've lit up the phone lines.
That's what happens.
Caller, are you there?
Yep.
Go ahead to Bob Dobbs.
I was wondering if you could comment on cloning and its possible military use or use with political figureheads and so forth.
Well, as Dr. Beter pointed out, organic robotoids was what happened to many politicians in the 70s. They did replace people with organic robotoids. They're not exactly clone situations. But let me go to a more important insight. Societies have been cloned since 1957. Media have been cloned. Why, when you go anywhere in the world, is it the same environment you get in North America? So beyond human beings being cloned, which is a side issue, let's look at how the societies have been cloned and how the media have been cloned. And again, I recommend Arthur Croker, who writes about this in Data Trash.
Anything else to add at all, caller?
No, nothing.
Well, thanks for phoning in, and doot 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 doot.
Doot doot.
And you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, the Alberta Human Survey Radio Show. Thank you very much, Bob Dobbs, for phoning in. Really, really appreciate you phoning in. Just out of the blue, Bob Dobbs, out of the blue.
Maybe we'll do it again. Now, one last word, Nardra, when you have your caller say do-do.
Actually, we actually have another caller here. We have one more caller here and another question. But as we're doing that, I was just going to say, have you heard of Brother 12 at all, Bob Dobbs?
No, I don't know him.
Brother 12 is like one of British Columbia's cult leaders.
I've been there for years.
Brother 12, he like buried gold in the Gulf Islands. Brother 12.
Yeah, he was there back in the 30s, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah. There was a book written about him.
Yes, I know of that myth, I know of that person, but I didn't know him.
Hey, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I am, yeah. Hey, Nardwar.
Go ahead to Bob Dobbs, eh?
Yeah, I was just watching.
Bob Dobbs, eh?
Yo.
Yeah, Bob Dobbs.
Dobbs.
No, Bob Dobbs.
I'm wondering, this is might seem like a dumb question, but I was wondering if it's possible to, with cloning and stuff like that, to
would you guys get over cloning? Why is
like combine the DNA of like sort of something like a cat and a human and create like people who have humans who have superhuman strength, like that kind of thing? Like you know,
the cloning. These efforts will be made. They will not be as successful as the inventors hope to be because they don't know how the Boudians altered our structure in 27,000 BC. They won't know that for another 150 years. And until they do that, their clones are going to look like those characters in Brazil. Remember the famous Terry Gilliam movie in Brazil?
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah, there'll be high ambitions about having cloning. It'll come in, but it'll be like Kmart products, just shoddy work.
But other mammalian species, right, like have similar DNA to humans, right? So they could cross, possibly.
Yes, they can cross-pollinate species. That's true.
Actually, are we people or are we just holograms? Like, you believe in a red dwarf, don't you? We're holograms, aren't we, Bob Dobbs?
The hologram is the environment we live in. We live in the effects of it. You don't have actual technological hardware holograms in your house, but yes, every environment is preceded by the effects of it. And according to my charts and flip side, we've been living in the hologramic effect for 30 years. So we are in the hologramic situation.
All right.
And that's part of the cloning of societies.
All right, caller, doot-doot-a-loot-doo.
Doot-doot.
And we'll now turn over to Sean, our operator. Sean, come forward, you have a question for Bob Dobbs.
Yes, hello, Bob. How are you doing?
Yes, Sean.
I'm Sean, the tech guy here. I have two quick questions for you. And the first is in your opinion, I've sort of been listening to this, who was responsible for the Kennedy assassination? I mean, I'm just a tech guy.
No, you're trying to...
I don't have access to
I would not like to be killed.
No, you're not going to be killed. I'm going to be killed. And I'm curious because I'm the truth. And the second part of my question is if you do possess the cure for AIDS... Why don't you, like, you know, go to some hospital or something like that and try to get it public and test it and see if it works, and then, you know, I'm sure it would take off.
Yeah, we're doing that in New York right now.
And it's actually working.
Yeah.
And so how come it hasn't hit the papers?
Well, it's a slow process. You have to go through the FDA. There's a lot of technological hierarchies you got to work through.
Yeah.
And but I'm telling you, it will surface eventually, and that's the good news. I'm sorry it can't come right now, but humans built societies very complexly so that it's hard to get this out. But it is being done in New York.
What about
now,
cancer?
Now, let me tell you about the... what?
Cancer?
I'm working on that now, too. Yeah. I won't say we are treating cancer successfully, but I'm sure we will.
Okay.
We've got some very powerful new technologies.
Excellent.
Don't go for this protease inhibitor or whatever other stuff. Viagra, that's Android mean chemical failures. Don't go for anything they advertise. Use the alternative naturopathic routes first if you have any serious diseases. If you have to use regular medicine, then eventually you have to. But don't go for the chemical way right away.
Okay.
I do want to say this about the Kennedy assassination. I can solve the problem. You won't be killed when I say this, but one of the people involved in killing Kennedy and organizing was myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm not killing anybody about that. And so there, I know you may not believe me, but I'm telling you, you can now say that Bob Dobbs, the, quote, Canadian Bob Dobbs, was involved.
Well, thank you so much, Sean. Doot-doot-a-loot-doot. And anything else you'd like to add to the people out there in Radio Land at all, Bob Dobbs, in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada? Anything else we haven't covered here today? Or, like, I'm curious, anything that's going to happen, like, you, I guess you can't reveal what role you had in the assassination of John F. Kennedy, can you?
What I did?
Yeah.
No, I can't do that.
Well, anything else that might be happening, little stuff that's going to be happening, coming up in the future, anything to watch out for?
Well, Nadra, I want to say this. Your code, doot-doot. What you're really trying to say is 2-2. Now, Vancouver is the 18 zone, not the 22 zone. So you might want to change the doot-doot to something that says 1-8. Maybe 1-A, like the Canadian A.
But doot-doot-a-loop-doo. I mean, you mean...
Yeah, keep that. That's 2-2 doing it's a loop into a Baroque spiral, but then the punchline is it flips into, in particular in Vancouver, into 18.
So when I go doot-doot-a-loop-doo, people should go 1-8 then.
That's right.
Instead of doot-doo.
They go 1-A to make it Canadian, 1-A, or they can do 1-8. But definitely don't end on doot-doo. That's 2-2, which is more on the over here in New York City.
Well, thank you so much, Bob Dobbs. I hope to hear from you again. Anything else you'd like to add to the people out there in radio, like, why should people care about Bob Dobbs, Church of the Subgenius?
They don't have to care about me. They don't have to care about the Church of the Subgenius, but they should care about Nardwar because he put me on the air.
And you didn't kill me by revealing who actually killed Kennedy, although you killed Kennedy, didn't you?
Yes.
As the Rolling Stone says, you killed Kennedy. And speaking of that, right now we're going to end the show with a band called The Artwoods. The Artwoods featuring Ron Wood of the Rolling Stones' brother, Art Wood. And that's why they're called The Artwoods. So, Bob Dobbs, doot doot doot.